Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Reengage. Thank you guys for being here this evening. Tonight, we're going to do things just a little bit differently with our large group time. We wanted to expand kind of our testimony and our kind of teaching time just to provide an opportunity for y'all to hear from three different couples on just in their journey through, I guess, a part of their story being betrayal through an affair. And so we've asked three of our couples, all three of these couples are key leaders, two are on staff with us here at Watermark, and they've kind of had a part of their story is infidelity. And we just want you to know that no matter, as you're coming in, whether infidelity is a part of your story or there's betrayal and broken trust through something else, or you're here and you're saying, man, we're doing well in our marriage and we're trying to figure out how do we continue to excel still more, like you're in the right place. And the things that you're going to hear from these couples are going to help you no matter where you are in that journey. But we also know that there's just some particular waters that people have to swim through when infidelity is also part of their story. And we're thankful to have just some stories of healing and hope to offer you this evening. And so I'm going to pray for our time, and then we're going to have everyone come up and join us. Lord, thank you so much just for your healing and hope through your son, Jesus Christ. No matter what is going on in our life, whether things are going well or we've hit rock bottom, there is hope because of your son, Jesus. Thank you for sending your son so that we can have life in him and that it would be abundant. Lord, and thank you for sending not only your son, but giving us your word, your spirit, and your people to help us to navigate through some of life's most difficult circumstances. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right, so guys, come on up here. Please welcome Scott Kadershaw, who will be kind of leading our panel time, and then also these couples. We have the Minds, Kevin and Kelly. We have the Gios, and then also Susan Cox and Rawl is on his way. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Ryan. All right, how about that weather? Anyone get wet? Crazy. Saw a bunch of gentlemen dropping their wives off under the porte-cochere. Well done. So my name's Scott Kadershaw. I serve on staff here in the marriage ministry. I work with our newlyweds and get to work with the Reengage team and the Merge team, and always love getting to be here with you guys. So this is something that we've done a couple times in our Merge premarital ministry, which seems kind of interesting. Why would we talk about this with premarrieds? We have framed this with our premarried couples, saying this is what married couples who have walked through infidelity, what they would want premarried couples to know. And so for a lot of those guys, it's very theoretical. This is what the future looks like. This is real life for those in this room. This is when the bullets are flying. This is married life. This isn't just premarried. This is real. And we know that's part of your story for some of you in here. And then our hope for those of you who this is not your story, that you would learn from these three couples who love you and who care and who are willing to share their story. This is a challenge for them to do, but they want to do it because they care about the state of marriages in this room. And so they don't want this to happen to you. Nobody ever goes into marriage thinking this will be a part of our story. And so we need to be aware. And I think you will be encouraged. I think you'll be challenged tonight. What I would encourage you to do, if you got your Reengage book with you, I'd find an open page, maybe a note page in the back, and jot down some notes, see what you can learn from these three couples. They're going to keep things brief and succinct as they share their stories in a moment. And then we've got some questions that I'm going to fire at them during our time together. Just a little background on infidelity, just to give you an idea of what it's like out there. This is from Psychology Today. 74% of men said they would have an affair if they knew they wouldn't get caught. 3 out of 4 men say that. And ladies, before you think that men are a bunch of pigs and you're innocent, it says 68% of women would do the same thing. They would have an affair if they knew they wouldn't get caught. Cameron Diaz, the marriage expert that she is, says that 100% of couples are unfaithful. And I would say just in years and years of doing this, 100% of couples never think this will happen to them. And so I'm just grateful that these three couples are here to share their story and answer some questions. And I think you will be encouraged. I hope you walk away with hope as you hear their stories and as they share very honestly and transparently with you. So I'm going to pray, and then they're each going to share their stories. God, thanks for this time together. I pray that it would be glorifying to you and helpful to us. God, help us to be humble and teachable and learn. And thank you for your perfect design of marriage. Thank you that you call us to be one flesh. Thank you that you give us a safe place and reengage the process when we struggle with that or break that. And so, God, I pray that tonight would be helpful for every man and woman in this room, that we'd grow in our love for you and our love for our spouse. And God, I pray in your kindness that you would protect us, that we would protect our marriages, that we would fight for intimacy and oneness and unity. And I pray that tonight would go a long way towards helping us towards that. In your name we pray, amen. All right, Kevin and Kelly.
All right, so Scotty said we had about a minute to give our story. So we went through some hard times and now we're doing better. No, really, I think the key things we want you guys to know is we got married back in 2001. At the time, we were both believers, but very immature believers, or at least I was. Got stuck in the rut at about the seven-year mark of two young kids, stuck in the grind of working, daycare, you know, bath time, bedtime, wake up, repeat. And so around that same time, I started exercising with a gal who was not my wife. We were both exercising in the mornings. We thought, let's just work out together. She was married. I was married, and we thought, okay, well, nothing would ever happen. We're safe. So it began as an emotional connection. I started looking forward to those workouts more than I should. And about two or three months after that, it became physical. The physical affair lasted probably a few months. And then I was leaving that job. It was a gal I worked with to go back to school full time. This was 2008, to give you all a time frame. But fast forward a few more months, Kelly found out about the affair. And that's when we say the storm hit our marriage. And so we had a decision to make at that point. I didn't want to leave, and fortunately she did not either. So we started meeting with our pastor. We met with counselors. We ended up here at the Reengage Ministry back in early 2009, and God redeemed it.
Good. Thanks, Kev.
My name's Amanda Guillo. This is my husband, Drew. We've been married 20 years. We got married in 1998, and about a year and a half in, we moved out of state for jobs. We were very much isolated from family, friends, church. We would have said we were believers at the time, but we definitely were not walking with the Lord. And there was an evening where things were so tense between us that I said to him, if this is the worst, if for better or for worse, I think I'm out. And that was kind of the beginning of some unraveling that happened between us. I began to have an emotional affair with my boss at the time. I just found myself finding my identity and what others thought of me. And here was someone that was giving me attention, seemed to value who I was, and I wasn't feeling that at home. And so it culminated in Christmas parties. We had work parties the same evening, and we didn't even invite either the other person to that party. He went on his own to his. I went on my own to my party. And my boss that evening asked if he could kiss me goodnight. And I said no, thankfully. I fled that situation and went home, got into bed, and Drew said, I hope you're having a nice affair. And up until that point, I thought I had been hiding it really well. I did not confess. The next morning, he didn't seem to remember much of anything. I thought I was hiding it really well. And so we walked 9 years of marriage from that point. And I held that secret in until we landed back here in Texas at Watermark. And the Lord was incredibly faithful and just chasing us down and grabbing our hearts. And I was able to confess after going through Region and just feeling the Lord's conviction and walk through that together.
That's good. Thank you. Hey, will you put that picture back up there again just so we can all enjoy that for a moment? That is... So when you were on Saved by the Bell TV show, was that where did that fall in the 9 years? I'm just jealous because I have no hair. So, Rolf, Susan.
So we're sitting over here. If you notice, we're fighting over who's going to share the story because we're double. I met a man in a gym and began just texting and conversations with him, which started just an emotional affair of thoughts of what it would be like until I made the decision of taking it physical and just believe the lie that this affection and attention from this other person would be greater than God's gift to me and my husband, Raul. And so the affair came to light. We showed up here at Watermark headed for divorce, and through Reengage, God got a hold of my heart and moved us on a path of restoration. And so did not know that there was a chapter two that was going to unfold as we were coming through Reengage.
Yeah, we like to call this a double feature with no popcorn. So So my story is that after we went through Reengage, our very first night, we were asked to serve, and we were standing right over here looking at the screen, just going to talk to the new couples about the 1-2-3s of Reengage, and you know the program. So I really felt like a conviction came over me. I felt like the Holy Spirit was just working in me, and the word I left there that night was hypocrite. And two nights later, I confessed everything to Susan, that the affair didn't, infidelity didn't start with Susan, but it started with me 8 years prior. And so I made that confession. We had our community group, our reengage group, I should say, the folks that we had just finished going through reengage with, they showed up at our house at 1:30 in the morning, coming from Dallas and Richardson, and then they started just walking us through that journey. And just our biggest bond of folks that we at that time were with were our reengage group, and they were instrumental in just keeping us on track.
That's good. All right. First question, how do you rebuild trust after an affair? And so Drew, Kelly, Sears, Rawl, anyone chime in on that?
That's always the question, I think, of just the scenario is, how in the world am I going to trust this person again? And I think I wished it would have come super quick. I think Kevin would have wished that as well. And I just think through the process of kind of digging in, you know, we'd never been in what we had called true biblical community until we got to Watermark and in Reengage. And just with the help of some really great leaders and people around us, teaching us to draw the circle, and as believers, just trying to understand what that looked like. I saw Kevin digging into God's word daily, which was a huge aspect in just me taking a step back, praying through the situation of what in the world this looked like. But trust came once I saw Kevin making an effort to being in God's word, literally taking God's word and applying it to our relationship and to our family. And that trust came. And it was months and months later, but it was easier. And I don't want to say that any of that is easy for those sitting here and experiencing that, but it became something that was easier to do because of his relationship with Christ and how that was transforming what our marriage looked like.
So partly seeing Kevin do trustworthy things helped to rebuild trust for
Absolutely.
You and your marriage.
Yeah. Yep.
Getting in the word. Good. Yep. Who else? Sears?
Really, the number one thing that I would add is forgiveness, right? Forgiveness had to start before trust could be rebuilt. So that would be the number one thing for me.
Yeah. So how do you forgive someone when trust has been broken?
Well, I think a lot of it is just realizing, hey, what is forgiveness, right? I mean, forgiveness doesn't mean that I automatically trust her. Forgiveness doesn't mean that I excused whatever the affair, what the sin was. That the forgiveness is basically saying, okay, that's a transaction between me and God, right? I'm handing that justice off to God and say, okay, you're the righteous judge. You deal with this. So that I could release that bitterness and realize that if I'm bitter, I'm not forgiving. And if I have that bitterness, that's going to block everything. So having God do the transaction, realizing that doesn't mean I trust her. It doesn't mean that my pain goes away. It doesn't mean that I'm forgetting anything. But it just allows us to just start that process.
Only thing I would add to that is, I mean, 24 hours at a time. Mm-hmm. I mean, trust is rebuilt 24 hours at a time. Rawl and I had to learn to take our eyes off of each other and to be committed to the truth of Matthew 6, 33 and 34, that we are to seek Jesus first in all his kingdom and all his righteousness, and everything will be added unto us. In verse 34, that we are not to worry about tomorrow or the day after that, for that's going to have enough worry and care of its own. And as we took our eyes off of each other and began that deep abiding in Christ and being committed to that 24 hours at a time, that paid huge dividends when it came to rebuilding trust with one another.
That's good. So that applies, what they shared applies to any issue in your life where trust is broken. Whether it's infidelity, money, lying, promises. I've learned to not make promises to my wife unless I'm going to keep them. And so anytime we break trust, you do trustworthy things. You abide with Christ. You have an understanding of what forgiveness looks like, that we forgive because we've been forgiven in Christ Jesus. So,
can I add one thing?
Yeah, please. Sure.
The one thing that I want to, forgiveness is not a process, right? It's a decision. And I learned that single-handedly when she confessed to me of realizing that I've got a choice right now to forgive. And so if there's this thought of, well, I'm just not there yet, that's understandable, but it's not a process to get there, right? It's a decision and really a spiritual transformation.
Yeah, and if you haven't gotten there, you'll get there in sessions 4 and 5, 5 and 6 in your reengage curriculum. So go to this. I'd love for Amanda and Susan to answer this. So you talked about an emotional affair. What is an emotional affair? How does that differ from a physical affair? And what does recovery look like? Is it different than a physical infidelity?
Okay, so an emotional affair is how it all starts, whether it goes physical or doesn't. But it's emotionally connecting to someone else that is not your significant other, that is not your spouse in this situation for us. So it, you know, looks like imagining yourself with that person, imagining yourself kissing that person, being married to that person. I mean, you name it, you know, just kind of running down that trail that is not your reality.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's just that for me, my story was I wonder what it would be like to be with that person. And the thought of the sin began just there in my head. And I began to have fantasies. And I began to think, hey, what would it look like, you know, to take the next step, until there came that day that I did cross the line and I did take it physical. So a physical affair never starts out. It's just immediate, a physical affair. It does. It starts in the mind with the thoughts.
Good. All right. So what I heard 2 out of 3 of you say is that the part of the infidelity started at the gym, and so what I heard is don't go work out at the gym. Is that the takeaway?
Yeah, and different gyms, to be clear.
Yeah.
Different gyms.
So we were not good, working out together in the same gym.
Yeah, so that's good. Obviously, you want to honor God with your body. You want to go to a gym. Let's get super practical here. How do you go through real life, going to a gym, avoiding temptation? And so I'd love for each of you to share one thing that's really practical on how you can avoid, or how can you best deal with temptation? Because we're certainly, it's not going to go away. It's all around us.
Yes. Yeah, so me personally, I'd go to Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart so that it may not sin against you. And so the more scripture you have in here, the more arsenal you have when that temptation comes, whatever it is, to use that in that moment to not sin. So that's, for me, that's what works best.
Good.
I would say esteeming Amanda every chance I get, especially if I'm around females. I want them to know how much I love her, how beautiful she is, and just make it so that I look like I'm completely off limits, right?
Good. I've heard that. So I've heard people call that adultery repellent.
Yes.
Is when you talk so highly about your spouse in front of others that everyone knows that she's off limits. You can't have her. That's what my wife talks about me so highly all the time, is just to let people know. And another great practical thing I heard every day, and I don't do this every day, but I want Kristen to wake up knowing that I love her and I cherish her and I value her. And so I tell her that as often as I can, just to remind her. I don't want some other dude affirming her and her finding value in the Lord and then someone else. And so I want her to hear it from me every single day. Good. Keep going.
For me, it's just trusting the Lord and who he says he is and who he says I am, and not putting, I'm going to cry again, but not putting my value in what I think others think about me. And just knowing that those lies are going to come in, and knowing I need to do battle with them, with his word.
Good.
Yeah, from a practical for me, for a season, I went to an all-girls gym. Mm-hmm. And my daughters would go with me to work out. But in that season, there's a renewing of my mind, guys. I mean, it's being in God's word. It's listening to music that portrays the love of the Lord. And I mean, everything. There was a detox and a reprogramming. The ways that I had used to run to, those had to all be very different. Now it had to be, what is it I'm doing that would bring the Lord glory and honor? And let's face it, you know, are there good-looking men and women in the world? Yes, the front row. She's going, well, yeah. And so when I see people, when I see men and I see women that are beautiful or attractive, it is, God, you did good. God, thank you for the way that person's created. I pray that that man loves his wife. I pray that he cherishes his wife. He's a great father lover. You know, I mean, I see that person in a whole new light because of what God has done in me.
I think that probably one of the things that that really resonated with me was just some advice to just serve her unconditionally. And even to the point to where if she asked me to put on a pink shirt and pink socks and wear them that day, that's what I do. That's the mindset that I need to have, is just to love her and to serve her unconditionally. And don't put the focus on me, but to put the focus on her. And I think a lot for both of us is just being in God's word. And then just, I think for me, just seeing her in God's word every morning, it just reassured me that she was on track and in pursuing him. And that just gave me a good feeling of knowing that her heart was pursuing Christ.
Kelly, do you have one to add?
I just think having people around you that can keep you accountable or to help you stay accountable and to help you with scripture memory, I think that would be just, that's something that's really important to both of us.
Yeah, practical on that. What I've learned to do is that if there's someone in particular who I struggle with, somebody I'm attracted to, is I give a specific name to a couple of coworkers and let them know. And so I need you to make sure I don't go sit next to that person, or I don't go by their cube or their office. And so I hate to admit that brokenness, that temptation that I have. And I want to stay ahead of it. And partly this is really real to me for a very, very close friend recently walked through infidelity, a person I never would have guessed. And he told me afterwards, I wish I had told you what her name was. I don't know if that would have stopped it, but that would have put a big block in the road. And so that reinforced the importance of just bringing others in who will pray for me and hold me accountable. Kev, I've heard you say this before, and I think this is such a good, helpful question, but you've talked about, you know, partly why I ask this to you is I know you guys so well, and it's still hard for me to believe sometimes knowing the marriage that you have now. And so what's different with Kevin in 2018 and Kevin and Kelly in 2018 from Kevin and Kelly 8 years ago, 9 years ago, whenever it was?
10 now.
10, yeah. So what's different between then and now? I know you've shared four things. Would you share those?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we are not in any way close to perfect. We still have conflict, and we still am working through all this stuff. So don't hear that we're in a position of we've got it all figured out. But first and foremost, I'm abiding with Christ. And so that John 15:5 type abiding with Christ, which I wasn't doing before. So making Christ the number one part of your life in prayer and meditation and scripture memory and all that goes with it. Two, we're at a point now where we enjoy being with each other. We pursue each other. So that Ecclesiastes 9:9 type, where husbands enjoy life with the wife whom you love. And so we're doing that. We're making time for date night and pursuing each other instead of other things or other people. Three, we've got boundaries in place now between us and people of the opposite sex. And so, of course, it's working out. I now work out with a guy instead of a gal. And so things like that. But, you know, who you have lunch with or who you are alone with in meetings, just boundaries that you guys should all talk through. And then the last piece is community. So we've got people in our lives asking us those tough questions. So that's it. So abiding with Christ, community, pursuing each other, having fun together, and then the fourth one.
Boundaries with the opposite sex. Yeah, in case you were wondering, yes, Kevin was talking about me. Clearly we work out together. You can probably tell. No, it's not me. It's other one, someone else. Sometimes I watch. All right. anyone else? So I think that's a fair question. Anything you'd add to that list of just what's different now than back then for each of you? Outside of community, abiding, boundaries, and then just having fun and pursuing each other. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. All right, there are probably some couples in this room who have this as part of their story and they haven't told their spouse or their re-engaged leader or anyone else. What do you want them to know, Suze? What should their next step be, and what would you want them to do?
Today's the easiest day to confess. because if you wait, you won't. James 5:16 says that if we confess to one another and we pray for one another, that we will be healed. And we will tell you, there is nothing sweeter, richer in marriage than being fully known with one another. And we came to learn through this whole process that we are already fully known by a God who loves us. And because of that truth, that we can be fully known with each other. And y'all, I can't wait to come home to my husband. I love him. And we just celebrated 34 years of marriage this past summer. And I just praise God. Thank you. I mean, I just praise God that we had people that were bold enough to speak the truth to us and remind us of who God is. And so I would say, if you're holding something tonight, because when I came through Reengage and closed group, I had one foot in the marriage and one foot still in the affair. And it wasn't until I fully came clean before the Lord and came clean before my husband that, man, healing really began to take place.
Well, and I'd also say, you know, Deuteronomy 31 says the Lord goes before you. And so y'all, you are in the prime position to just be in a safe place to communicate hard stuff with one another. You've got a group of people that are around you that really care for you. And I don't know your leaders, maybe, but they really love y'all. And they're for you to have hard conversations, to teach you, to tell you about this God, this Christ who loves you so much and wants you to know what true forgiveness looks like. And this is the time to do it. And I get, you know, I get that there's so much fear in that, but there's so much freedom. And so I would just encourage you in that.
I would echo that completely. Just as somebody who was so fearful for 9 years to hold on to a lie, the moment that I confessed that, I was free, and it was terrifying. I equate it, and I tell people all the time, I equate it to standing on the edge of a cliff and needing to jump off, but knowing that the Lord was in my heart, and to say those words, and to, you know, Drew says he remembers my body language just being free of pain that I'd been carrying for almost a decade, and that I had caused him to carry because he suspected something all along. Just walk in faith and knowing that the Lord is there and he is going to carry you through that moment. And the freedom that you're going to feel on the other side is there's nothing like that.
Good, Drew. I'd love for you to answer this follow-up to that. So, you know, you confessed after hiding it for 9 years. You felt freedom. Great for you. But now Drew has to pick up the pieces. And even though he might have suspected it, now he's the one who really has to rebuild the trust and it's become real. What's your counsel or advice for somebody who is the betrayed in a relationship if you have if your spouse has been unfaithful with someone else?
To kind of set that up, I mean, my mind went through a number of different things. Like, this was my worst nightmare, right? And I actually thought that more stuff happened when she kind of told me that she had had this emotional relationship. My first thought was, I wish it was just maybe cheap sex, because it's like you've given your heart away to another man for a period of time. And so it really, really stung. So I had a lot of anger and didn't really know what to do with it. But you know, God's timing is so perfect in our lives, right? Because I had come to Christ, I had been in his word, I had been training myself. So when that happened, all these things are going through my head, but the Spirit put on my heart, you have been forgiven much, so you must forgive. And I don't know if I said this before, that's literally the first time in my whole life that I had forgiven somebody, made the choice to forgive and forgiven. Mm-hmm. And so my biggest counsel is to forgive and understand what forgiveness is, understand what it's not. And if you can't forgive, and if forgiveness is a problem for you, you know, what I would say to you is that you probably don't have a forgiveness problem, you probably have a gospel problem. Yeah. Because maybe you don't feel like you've been forgiven much, and so you don't need to forgive somebody else. And so great conversations to have with your leaders, right? But forgiveness.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, guys. So we are out of time. Ryan's going to come up in a minute. A few things. If you have questions and your questions were not answered, I would encourage you to ask those to your leaders, you know, tonight or after group sometime this week. Leaders, if you were asked a question and you don't know the answer, reach out to the Reengage team. And then we do have resources online that, can you tell them where they could find those, Ryan, if that's part of your story? I would encourage you to pray for these guys if you think of them in the next couple days. Every time that we've done this, they say like this dark cloud hangs over them, even though they're restored and doing great. Just to bring that up again every time is tough for them. So I would encourage you to pray for them as you think about them. And then for the three of you, so 34 years, Susan and Raul, Drew and Amanda, you're at 19, 20? 20. They got married when they were six, I think, apparently. And then I know you just celebrated 17. And you know, y'all don't know them in the same way I do. And so I could brag on them for a moment of what you see before you are not perfect couples, as Drew said really well. But this church would not be the church it is if they weren't leading in the way they are. Susan, you see Susan every week up here. Susan and Raul, this is part of their story, and they are the champion cheerleaders for Reengage. I'm so grateful for them and for their testimony. And you got a week applause when you said 34 years. That's pretty amazing, right? Especially given all that you've been through. And they would tell you that's not about them, and it's all about Jesus and for Jesus. And then what's really cool about Drew and Amanda, Drew actually came on staff a couple weeks ago and is leading our marriage ministry in Plano.
Two months ago? 2 months ago.
What did I say, a couple weeks?
A couple weeks.
That's like 2 months, like 6 to 8 weeks.
You make me like a real neophyte if you say it's two weeks. You can have credit
for every minute you've been on staff. So he's been on staff for a couple of months and is leading our efforts with marriage in Plano. They have three great kids. One of them, none of them would be around, if they hadn't worked through in their marriage. And then, just great friends. And then same with Kevin and Kelly, just amazing friends to me and my wife and three children. One of their oldest matches up with my twins. And their youngest one is such a sweet, cute kid. He's in first grade. And then their middle one, we have silently signed papers that if our kids don't find anyone else, we want them to marry and procreate together. And so we've kind of made, I'm all for arranged marriages. And so, you know, I love this family. They're among our closest friends in the world. And I go, my life would be a lot less awesome if they weren't in it. And so I'm so grateful for the ways that you guys pushed through and endured. And thank you for leading us tonight. I know it's not easy. And I'd love to pray, and then Ryan's going to come up. So, God, thank you for tonight. Thanks for the way that these couples have boldly and courageously led us tonight. I pray for anyone in this room who is afraid and know that feeling, God. So I pray you give them the courage to come forward, to talk to their spouse, their leader, a friend, widen the circle. I pray that they wouldn't go another day. Whatever it is, if it's infidelity or anything that they're hiding, I pray, God, that you would give them the courage through your Spirit to confess and widen the circle. And God, thank you for for these couples in here. I pray that they would learn and grow. God, I pray you protect us from making decisions that would be harmful to our relationship with you and to one another as husband and wife. Thank you for the Minds and the Gios and the Coxes. I pray as they walk away from here tonight that they be encouraged and not discouraged. Thanks for using their stories to help us. We love you. Thank you for your perfect, beautiful design of marriage and for the ways you love us through Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.